Welcome to Your Wealth Mastermind with host Patricia Rivera and Diana McRae. Building a wealthy mindset in all areas of your life is crucial to your everyday success. Our topics focus on health, wealth, beauty, business, relationships, and inner spirituality. These all help to build the best and most powerful version of yourself. So let's get ready and go to the next level. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Your Wealth Mastermind. Today, we will be talking about influencer marketing with the lovely and talented Dixie Roberts, VP of Digital Strategies at Hangar 4, a division of DKC. Hi, Dixie.
Hi, great to be with you today.
We are excited to have you. So we're just going to jump right in. Please tell us more about what your company does and your role.
Absolutely. So DKC is a 25-year-old PR company. They started out in the entertainment industry and have really expanded over the years to an incredible portfolio that includes a large hospitality clientele, tech, sports. We rep Delta, Airbnb, and have some incredible clients. And we've always had these creative offshoots within the agency. And a couple years ago, the president of our agency, Sean Cassidy, really was starting to see the marketing landscape change. I think we all kind of know where this is going. But, we saw that all of a sudden our clients, instead of coming to our agency for just PR and then wanting a little social media here, a little events there, that they really wanted to come to us for social media only or for events and for experiential. And so he really saw this opportunity to create something that kind of lived on its own. So a couple years ago, we launched Hangar 4, which is a creative agency and offshoot of DKC. And we do everything from social media to influencer strategy and management, experiential events, video production, design and creative, you name it, we do it.
Wow.
It's been a really fun journey. I've been with the agency for 4 years, so I've been there through it all. And it's been really cool to be a part of that launch and to be a part of helping launch and shape that new agency. And outside of obviously being a part of that initial launch, I lead all the digital efforts, including influencer strategy, for some of our largest clients at the agency. So I've worked with L'Oreal Paris, Modo Sporting Goods, Caboodles, which is definitely one of my favorites if I had to pick one. I've worked with Rattani Jewelers. So it's been a really fun ride, and I get to kind of touch a lot of different pieces of the business.
I remember when I first saw you speak at Women in Digital in Denver, that you said how much you loved your job, and everybody was so in awe because they're like, oh my God, who would not want to do what you're doing?
I do have to wake up and pinch myself sometimes. I think, it's been amazing the transformation that I've had in the last 4 years coming. I think a lot of people can relate. When you started an agency, you know, you're handed a portfolio of clients, and sometimes it's not, sometimes it's not the A team. and so you work your way up, and you sit in on every meeting, and you speak up, and you start to get handed some really exciting business. And I think that's what I've really seen over the last 4 years, is I have been able to kind of work my way and sit in on the right meetings, and now being able to create strategy and content and campaigns for clients like Caboodles and L'Oreal Paris, and really kind of building these brands or doing activations or campaigns that they have never thought of or dreamed of before is truly something pretty incredible.
And I know you said you work from home a lot. Do you find yourself doing a lot of traveling as well?
Yes, I definitely travel quite a bit. I do love to travel. I enjoy it. I will say that Denver is pretty amazing because it's kind of right in the middle. So, you know, it's like 3 hours to New York, 2.5 to San Francisco, LA. So even though I do have to travel, it's really not too taxing, thankfully, barring that my flights are on time. but I do definitely enjoy being able to go back to New York. I've been in Denver now almost a year, and it has felt a little bit better. It's been easier to say goodbye to New York, knowing that I'm back every so often and able to obviously see my colleagues and also see a lot of my friends. So even though sometimes I probably complain about it, my fiance can tell you that, I definitely do have a best case scenario when it comes to being able to have a little bit of New York with my mostly Denver.
I know how you feel. You know, they say you can leave New York, but New York never leaves us. And that's how I feel.
That is so true.
Well, I am in New York, so I'm wondering. This is, I just want to welcome you again, Dixie, to the show. And I just want to bring up, I've had discussions with a lot of business owners. And one of my associates was talking about whether to pay a brand ambassador or a brand influencer to really help promote her brand. And so I think this question is really important because people really, with all this happening so quick, they don't know. So can you give us an example of an influencer marketing campaign that reaches its objectives versus one that doesn't?
Absolutely. It's a great question. And I know that even though, you know, I've been in influencer marketing now for about 3.5 years, which I feel like is, you know, really was the start when I started, was really when it really started to pick up. But it still is kind of the Wild West. And I think a lot of brands are still very hesitant to say, okay, I'm handing this person thousands of dollars and they're snapping an Instagram post, which is something my son can do and does on a daily basis. What makes that different and why is that of value to me? So, you know, when we're talking to brands, whether they're brands that are well-versed in influencer marketing or whether they're starting it for the first time, some of the things that we talk about are, you know, what are your objectives? What is your brand looking to do? Are you a small brand and you're looking to get brand awareness? Influencer marketing is a great opportunity for that. You know, when it comes to organic social, unfortunately, organic is dying or dead. So if you're looking for social content, obviously you're going to be doing paid advertising. So are you a small company that wants to do paid advertising, but you don't have content? Again, influencer marketing is an answer for you because you're going to these influencers who are content creators. They're creating content for you that you can then leverage for your paid advertising. So, you know, it answers a lot of objectives. You're looking for content, but you don't want to pay for a full-on photo shoot because you're a scrappy potential startup. Also, are you looking to find an influencer who matches up with your audience? Or are you looking to find an influencer who has a completely different audience, but one that you're looking to really cash in on? I would say a great example for that is my client Caboodles. You know, Caboodles has been around for 30 years. Those of us who are millennials remember it when it came around the first time. But a lot of us are now in our, you know, early mid 30s and some of us are having kids. So Caboodles is looking to not only tap into that millennial market, but they're also looking to introduce a new audience, that Gen Z audience, to Caboodles. And the best way that we found to do that is finding influencers who have Gen Z following. And really having these influencers who these Gen Z audience trust, they're their celebrities. They're, you know, that is their equivalent of Jennifer Lawrence. They are going to YouTube, they're going to Instagram, and they're seeing what these people are wearing and doing and buying and participating in. And they are in turn doing the same. So that's a really great option for brands to really expand their existing footprint. Yeah, I would also say another thing is just making sure you have a clear call to action attached to your influencer strategy. You know, are you looking for swipe ups in Instagram stories? Are you looking for downloads? Are you an app? And really making sure that that is called out ahead of time, because sometimes that incurs hidden costs with influencers. And as your agency, if we are looking to negotiate with influencers, we need to know that information up front, because sometimes we can save you some money if we start that conversation early versus engaging an influencer and then saying, hey, by the way, we need you to add this link to your bio in Instagram, which is a very coveted position since you only get one link. So, you know, I would say that when it comes to reaching your objectives, making sure that you're identifying that audience that you're looking for, you're hitting that clear call to action. And then finally, I would say, you know, investing in a long-term relationship. Don't do those one-off Kim Kardashian sugar bear hair posts. Like, you know, I'm glad that, you know, maybe that's working for Sugar Bear Hair, and I think they're crushing it in their influencer game because they have so much saturation in the market. Uh-huh. But that's really not what I see as the future of influencer marketing, and we can get into that later. But long-term relationships equal a couple things. They equal over-delivery in content because the influencer becomes part of the brand family. And so, you know, with that long-term relationship maybe comes trips with the brand, maybe comes extra product that they're getting ahead of time. And it just becomes a conversation that becomes part of their daily life. And so their fans are seeing an organic and genuine brand use. You're seeing over delivery because they're seeing good results with their fan base when they talk about it. And it doesn't feel transactional. It feels like an actual relationship. And that's really where you're going to get those, you know, those great results that you're looking for, and making sure that your client or your brand is seeing the value.
Wow. Now, forgive me for asking this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. The Gen Z generation is the 1990 kids?
And below. I mean, like, it's really like you're looking at, I mean, anything below millennials. So it really depends. Sometimes Facebook audience identification builds it out differently. But for me, I basically say it's like anyone under 30 right now.
Yes. Because okay.
I would say like 30. Yeah. 30 plus to me is millennial. Like, I'm 35 and I'm a millennial. I'm an old millennial. So I would say it even could, Gen Z is even like 25 and below. But sometimes the social platforms, like if you're doing advertising on like Facebook or Instagram, they break out those audiences a little differently. But really you're almost looking to, when I say it in my head, I'm thinking of high schoolers or like college, like freshmen, sophomores. Really sometimes that you're almost influencing their parents, or you're influencing them to then influence their parents, because obviously parents are the ones that hold the purse strings.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We hold the purse strings on some millennials also.
Indeed.
And the older millennials as well.
Yes, exactly.
So with that, all that said, what would a good campaign budget look like for a small business owner?
Yeah, so this is a complicated question, but I'm going to do my best to answer it in a really succinct way. Budget is hard for influencer strategy. It's hard for a good reason, because anything can really be tailored for a client's needs and their budget. So what I really try to do is I go into a client conversation or brand conversation really eyes wide open for them, try to educate them on what the possible benefits are. And then I need them to let me know what chunk of the marketing pie we're getting, like what part of their marketing budget are we able to secure? Because that really helps me identify what kind of influencer program I can build for you. For a small business, I would say that sometimes the best course of action is quantity. Obviously, you want to have quality as well, but instead of, you know, if you're a global brand, you're looking at these large macro influencers that have millions of followers. But for an up and coming brand or a startup brand, I think that finding these micro influencers who have, you know, less than 10,000 followers, and who, you know, some of which are doing product exchanges depending on what you have, most of which are still asking for money, but have a much more attainable budget than, say, an influencer on Instagram who has 3 million followers. So engaging a large amount of influencers with small followings who can all talk about your brand at a strategic point in time. So let's say you're launching a new product. So let's engage 40 micro influencers with 10,000 followers and below within a week's time. So all of a sudden, people see their Instagram feeds flooded in hopefully a not annoying way with this product, and everybody kind of generates some curiosity and some buzz. A lot of times with these micro influencers, you get more bang for your buck too, because when you're looking at these macro influencers, these huge influencers, 1 million plus, they are a little brand agnostic. You know, they're talking about every brand under the sun, but these micro influencers don't have a ton of brand relationships yet. And so when they talk about a brand, their followers perk up, they listen. And so you are getting value in kind of being put to the top of their conversation, as opposed to fighting for a share of the pie with these large influencers. So I would really say, when it comes to a dollar amount, it really depends on a couple things. It depends on following. It depends on how many deliverables you're looking for. It depends on length of contract. But all of these things can be scaled. So don't be afraid to talk to your agency or to, you know, speak to your marketing team within your brand about budget starting at 5,000, 6,000, and knowing that you can get influencers to work for you and multiple influencers to work for you at that scale. You just have to be smart and know what kind of influencers you're going to get, and know you're not going to get a celebrity for $5,000.
Right. Wow. Do you have any other questions, Diana?
Yeah, I think you kind of talked about it, Dixie. But so, all right, we work with a lot of people. We have a network, like, say, of filmmakers, that we work with. And many of them, like, one thing about the millennials, everyone thinks they're kind of an influencer. You know, it's funny, but sure. A lot of them have a lot of followers. You know, they're have a certain ethnic background, racial background, or whatever. So, just for us understanding, you know, from your expertise, is influencers based on, like, if they have like 20,000 followers, or like if I'm doing a campaign, target audience, or both? Do you think?
Sure. That's a great question. So I think it can be a lot of different things, and it has also evolved over the years. I think when I first started at the agency, we were all sitting at our desk scrolling through Instagram and being like, oh my gosh, look at this chick. She has 3 million followers. She's a huge deal. That's not the case anymore. You know, things have really evolved in a good way. There are now platforms that cater to brands and agencies that help you better identify, you know, these people that you're looking for and what you're going to get when you book these influencers. So let's say that you're looking for an influencer who has a following that is, you know, 60% Hispanic. And in that case, you know, going to these platforms and being able to see the breakdown of their audience is important, because let's say that you are looking to sell a product that is catering to Hispanic audiences. You don't want to hire an influencer who has 80% Caucasian.
Right.
So I would say, depending on the product, that audience is extremely important. I would also say that location is very important. If your product is New York-based, or if you're, let's say, working with a global brand, but you're working with the U.S., you know, market, you want to find influencers that, you know, have large followings. But some of these influencers have large followings because they have, you know, excessive followings in Latin America. And wow, how is that going to help you when you're looking to hit a U.S. market? So when you have that knowledge, you can sometimes use that to your advantage when you're negotiating with these managers and say, listen, we see that your audience is 40% U.S. based. We love that, you know, but we would like to pay for your U.S. based audience. So even though you have 30 million followers, you know, a chunk of that percentage doesn't help us. So we would like to pay you based on your U.S. following. And some managers will work with you on that. Some won't. But it's good to arm yourself with that knowledge ahead of time, so you're getting the best price, and you are getting kind of the best audience that you need. I would also say that following is not indicative of a good influencer anymore. There are bots. There are There are fake followers out there, and there are influencers who purchase followings. Again, these influencer platforms that we work with help us and arm us with that knowledge. We can see how many, you know, inactive followers an influencer has. And if your audience has 20% inactive followers, I don't want to pay you for that 20%. So really, you know, looking at, if you don't have that platform, another way to do that is to assess engagement rates. So looking at the percentage of, you know, you can do this as ad hoc as you want. You can literally take an Excel sheet, dump their last 30 posts in the Excel sheet and the total engagement for all of them, average them out, and find out what their average engagement is in relation to their following. That's, you know, a good way to start if you're a brand that doesn't have access to these platforms. I would also say, if you are a brand who doesn't have access to these platforms and are doing things a little ad hoc with Excel sheets, just to be aware, when you're looking at engagement rate, checking out their last couple posts, seeing who's engaging with them. There is such a thing as influencer pods, which is basically a group of influencers, sometimes who are all repped by the same agents, who comment on each other's posts to help boost their engagement. And so what happens is you're paying to talk to other influencers, which isn't great. So you really just have to do your homework. And it's so important. You're paying for this. This is your ad money. This is your marketing money. So do your research. All the information is there. Obviously, these platforms make your life easier. And especially if you're at an agency, spending that money is, I'm here to tell you, so worth it. But if you're at a brand, if you're at a small company just starting out, you can do it ad hoc and it's worth it.
Wow. Wow. You know, you started to touch on this subject in I think question number 2 or 3, I can't even remember. But you said that, you know, since you said it's the Wild West when it, you know, the Wild West, and you started, how am I trying to say this? What do you think the future of influencer marketing, where do you think that's going?
Yeah, I love this question because I don't think influencer marketing is going away. Okay. You know, there are some people who say, oh, it's just a flash in the pan. You know, it'll be out of here in 5 years. I disagree. I think influencer marketing is here to stay. I think with the advent of social media, and as social media continues to grow, this is where we're consuming. We are consuming so much on our phones. We are consuming mobile. We are shopping on Instagram. We're shopping on Facebook. We're finding the things and the people that we love via our phones. So I personally feel that the future of influencer marketing, and this is also what I hope is the future of influencer marketing, is content creators. I always lean towards influencers who create beautiful content. They're not an influencer who happens to be really beautiful and takes a selfie with a product and you're literally paying for their followers to like see them. That's not the future of influencer marketing. The future is these influencers who truly have a point of view, who you can see are artists or artisans who are making something different, who are using your product and creating something really visually stunning and building it into their point of view, which is their page, in a way that feels genuine and organic. Those are the people that are worth paying for, because not only are you getting that organic and genuine integration into their content, which is going to be better received with their fans, you're also getting content that you can utilize for your owned and earned, your own channels, your own marketing, your own paid media, whether it be, you know, using it on your website, whether it be using it for your paid Instagram ads. That content is worth its weight in gold. Whereas a selfie of Kim Kardashian with my flat tummy tea is, I don't know. What do I use that for? I don't know. So I personally am drawn and am moving my clients towards these influencers who are creators. They're wonderful to work with. They are entrepreneurs as well. Like, these influencers are entrepreneurs. They get it. They understand the business. They know how to market your product. They may be marketers themselves who have just decided to branch off and start their own thing, and they just happen to become influential. I I love them, and I think they are the future of influencer marketing.
Wow, that's good to know, because we have a ton of creators.
Yeah, we work with, that's what we work with, is creators all the time, you know.
Multicultural creators.
We're constantly finding a way to, you know, be able, so they can use their creativity and their content. I mean, you know, just working with them and their stories and their narrative is, it's just like so important. And I think in that sense, that's why they have a certain amount of followers who like them, who like their point of view. So I love what you're saying about the future, because I think that that is the right way to go, so to speak. I mean, like for me and for Patricia, I mean, definitely, you know, in terms of influencer marketing, it's so important that they do work with the brand, and they can tell the story the way the story is to be told. And that's just because they're this name or that name, you know? So kudos to
exactly.
you, Dixie. You're very knowledgeable and you know a lot. You're amazing, like Patricia said. I mean, I've learned a lot just by listening to you. And everything just makes perfect sense when you're thinking about it, because I've been in marketing. I'm old school marketing, come from, you know, baby boomer times. I don't want to tell my age, but anyway. You know, so it's just kind of like one of those things where those days, it was still about relationships, though. I used to work for a large company, and I was a marketing person, and it was always about the relationships. And that seems to be the same kind of spirit and energy now. It's just the way we do it is different, but it's still about those relationships.
Yes.
Yeah. And
I think every brand, every business, you know, it's all about that relationship, building that beautiful relationship and getting the trust and, you know, from your clients.
Yeah,
absolutely. Relationships are still so important. And that is why, you know, we work at our agency to make sure that we are holding these relationships. They're very important to us. Every time I'm back in New York, I'm having breakfast or I'm having coffee with managers, with influencers who I love working with and who I want to make sure that I maintain that relationship. So if I have a last minute event or if I have an influencer pull out, I can shoot them a text and say, hey girl, do you want to go to this party tonight? And instead of having to go through 10 miles of red tape and having them send me to their manager, because they know me and because they know that it's been a pleasure to work with me and that I won't, you know, undercut them or I won't, you know, misuse our relationship, that they say yes.
Yes.
Relationships are still so key to this business. Yes, I love platforms and I'll talk about them all day long, but a platform will never replace the importance of getting to know these influencers, getting to know their managers, because let me tell you, they are all managed now. and really, really building that relationship. So when it comes time to, you know, when you have something that comes up last minute, or, you know, when you have a really important campaign that you know that they'll be perfect for, that they're always top of mind and they will appreciate that.
Well, Dixie, you have given us an earful and a lot of stuff to think about. So I just wanted to say thank you so much for joining us today. You are amazing. I don't even know what else to say besides you're amazing.
My goodness. Thank you so much. This has been such a pleasure. I love educating people about what we do, because that just helps us get in the door. But that's also what our job is as digital marketers. Digital marketing is so new to so many people, integrated marketing, social media marketing. And I think it's so important, as I constantly am hearing about the 22-year-old intern who's running XYZ's Twitter, which is never the case, that people know that it's actually not a 22-year-old intern and that it's actually someone who is extremely educated, extremely, you know, well-read and knows their job and knows it inside and out. And that's why they're successful, and that we can help you be successful. So anytime that I can spend some time educating others is definitely a pleasure. So I appreciate the time.
Well, gosh.
How can people, how can people get in contact with you, Dixie? Or is there a Facebook page? You know, we're going to have a Facebook page. Actually, we have one for this podcast so that we can, you know, create engagement with people that may have more questions, and that way they can reach out to you. But also, do you have a way that you may want people to get in contact? Like, say they want to hire your company or hire you.
Yes, absolutely. I would love that. You can always find me on social media. I'm Dixie in New York, even though obviously I'm no longer in New York. I'm having trouble letting go of that handle, and I don't want to talk about it. So until that time comes when I have that epiphany, I will always be Dixie in New York on Twitter and Instagram. And you can also find me on LinkedIn. You can just find me Dixie Roberts on LinkedIn. Shoot me an inbox. We can start a conversation. And if you're in Denver, we can have coffee.
Absolutely. Yeah, I just got one last question. Do you still have your New York driver's license?
You know what? I never had a New York driver's license.
And okay.
That's a whole nother story. I went to the DMV at Herald Square one day, and it was extremely traumatic. And I decided to instead renew my Iowa driver's license via the internet, because that's the thing you can do. So I spent 8 years in New York with an Iowa driver's license, but now I have a Colorado license.
Oh, so you're officially acclimated into the state of Colorado.
I am, but I will forever always be a little bit of a New Yorker.
Oh, I'm with you, Dixie.
Especially when it comes to walking fast on the sidewalk.
That's right.
All right.
Well, thank you again, hon.
Thank you, Dixie.
Thank you so much. This was so fun. I really appreciate it. And let me know when the episode comes out. I can't wait to hear it.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, definitely is going to come out. We'll let you know. So you are a superstar, and we definitely will be in contact, and we wish you the best ever.
Yes.
Amazing. Same to you, ladies. Have a great day, and have a great weekend.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.